Good morning. I'm glad to see you. I was not here last week, which was a little bit, you know, it's always a little bit different for me. Last weekend, my son Preston got married to his wife Lily, and so yeah, we can thank God for that. So it's a big, you know, big weekend for our family, and for me, I didn't have a lot of responsibility beyond, you know, some like lifting things and in order to decorate and lifting a pen in order to cut checks and things like that. I did have a responsibility though. I was in charge of refreshments. I was to do the shopping. This was not a typical Wisconsin wedding, if there is such thing as a typical Wisconsin wedding. I've done weddings outdoors. I've done weddings in churches. I did a wedding in a bar once. That's Wisconsin. A lot of the time, that's Wisconsin. This was a wedding where the bride and groom said we would prefer to not have alcohol there, and also since we're both vegetarian, we would prefer to not have meat there. So a Wisconsin wedding with no alcohol and no meat, that was unprecedented, maybe. I don't know. Somebody's done it. But it was so much fun, and it was so beautiful, and I'm talking about what wasn't there. But that's not what the wedding was about. The wedding was about what was there, and it was an absolutely beautiful day, and I brought refreshments, which people were worried that there wasn't going to be enough, and all that responsibility was on me. And I was like, I don't care. They're married. My part's done. Refreshments, though, in a wedding, they're part of what keeps people sticking around. If you're at a wedding and there's a dinner and there's dancing, and there was dancing, you need to give people something to help them cool off. You need to give people something so that when they're starting to feel parched, they can get refreshed, reinvigorated, restarted. If you're somebody who's running a race, hopefully there are people who are giving water along the way as a way to refresh you, to take you back to a point where you have the energy to keep going. That's what refreshment is all about. Beyond the refreshments that we put in our bodies, times of refreshment give us something to look forward to. They provide us with energy to get back into the work of life. For me, last weekend, it was refreshing to do all that, all the stuff. Beautiful as it was draining by Saturday night. And it was nice to not have to prepare a sermon. I mean, I'm not saying I write my sermons. I don't write my sermons on Saturday night. I have to have them ready well before that. But for me, it's typical on Saturday night, no matter what I'm doing, there's a point where I go, before I shut down for the night, I've got to run through my sermon. It was really refreshing to be at the end of the night and just go, I'm just going to go to bed. You all have some kind of thing that you do, some work that you do, that when you have an opportunity to move out of that regular pattern, it can feel really refreshing. You can come back to it and feel like, okay, I'm ready to go. When our faith is in Jesus, what we're going to see in Acts chapter 3 is an example of God refreshing somebody in a way that he did not expect. When our faith is in Jesus, God refreshes us in ways that we don't expect. We like to plan refreshments into our calendar. We plan vacations or, you know, during the summer. There are a lot of people who are not here who would typically be here on a weekend because they're taking a weekend away. Weekends in Wisconsin are so precious in the summer. Oh my goodness. We've got to get that refreshment while we can. We're in the book of Acts, and we're seeing, as demonstrated by the Acts, you know, body spray up here, we're seeing how the followers of Jesus became a fragrance to the people around them. And to some people, they invited that. It was a refreshing fragrance. And to some people, it was a condemning fragrance. Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John, two of the closest followers of Jesus. And this is, if you're just catching up with us, this is after the resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples, and then he ascended into heaven. He gave them a mission. He said, "You will be my witnesses. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's the mission, and we see that unfolding here. So Peter and John are in Jerusalem. They went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, and just think about that for a moment, each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going in to the temple. So lame from birth, and each day, and I don't know who the people are, it doesn't tell us, who carry him to a place where he can beg for money to survive. Maybe you're coming in here today and you're thinking about, you've got your job on your mind. Eric just told me this morning, he's flying out to Kansas City. My dad left this morning for work. He had to fly out to some. Maybe work is on your mind, and maybe you have times where you think, I am really in a rut. A rut being something that happens when you keep driving the same path over and over again, and it's hard to steer out of it because it's such a rut. Maybe you're feeling like you're in a rut. Can you imagine this rut? Each day carried to the temple area so that you can beg for food to survive. This guy is in a serious rut. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money, like he would do to anyone who's walking by. Verse 4, Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, Peter, he's just an intense guy. Peter, look at me. Okay, I don't know exactly how he said it, but he wasn't going to let this guy say, hey, you guys got any money? You got any money? As he's on the ground. Peter wanted this guy's undivided attention. Look at me. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. That's what he's there for. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you. I imagine this guy being like, ugh. What then? Did I get in trouble? Like, are you going to tell me to leave? Are you going to insult me? I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk, is what Peter says. Now, Jesus would be not an uncommon name. Jesus Christ, it means Messiah, means God's anointed one. So Jesus Christ, Peter is making reference, that is clear to this beggar. The Nazarene would be the guy from Nazareth. So he's narrowing it down and making sure that this guy knows who he's talking about, because Jesus was well known. So he lays it out there. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. And at this point, this man could have chosen to reject what Peter said. He could have just said, "You're crazy. If you don't have any money, just keep going. You're distracting other people who could be giving me money. Just keep going." That's not what he did, though. He heard the name Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. And in verse 7, Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. So this guy gives it a shot. He tries it. He receives the help being offered in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. The change in this man's life caught people's attention. I know that probably nobody in this room was born lame and then had your feet and ankles healed miraculously in the name of Jesus Christ and then started jumping around. We don't have stories that are exactly like this. I want you to think for a moment, though, about how has Jesus healed you? How have you been transformed by the free gift, the grace of Jesus Christ? Where were you in the past, and how did the grace of Jesus intersect your life, and what has changed since? What does it look like for you to jump, for you to praise God with your life, like this guy did? Now, this was more blatant than, more obvious to people than maybe what you've gone through. Think for a moment, though. What rut have you been saved from? And how are you living differently since he saved you from that rut? Some people think that this kind of healing doesn't happen anymore in the world today. I mentioned in one of the New Day Minutes, the weekly email newsletter, and if you're not receiving that, you can mark your communication card, that tear-off portion of your program, and you can say, "I want to receive the weekly email newsletter." I mentioned a podcast that I'm involved in called Problematic Voice, where Kurt Olson, who is telling stories of some of the journeys he's had around the world, and you can hear on there a story about a woman named Esther and someone who brought her to the point where she put her faith in Jesus Christ and the transformation that had on her, and then how they, and this is in Africa, how they started going to villages, and it very much like what Peter and John are doing here, where they'd go into a village, they'd somehow get attention in the marketplace, and I don't know exactly how they would get people's attention, and then they'd start telling them about Jesus and about how Jesus died so their sins could be forgiven. In one instance, people were kind of blowing them off and ignoring them, and Esther remembered that when Jesus gave instructions to his disciples and he said, if they don't receive the message, just wipe the dust off from your feet and leave that village. But before Jesus said that, he said, heal people. So she thought, well, if that's what he said, that's probably what we should do. So she stopped preaching and said, is anyone here sick? People came to her, and she prayed for them, and they were miraculously healed on the spot. Now that got people's attention. We don't experience that in our everyday lives. So to hear a story like that, it's even difficult to believe. I would have a hard time believing it if I didn't personally know Kurt, if I hadn't personally been in places where this happens. Russ, last month, I don't know, a few earlier this in the spring, shared with us a situation where he saw a miraculous healing happen while he was serving a church in Kenya. So, miraculous physical healing. I don't want to tell God, you don't do that anymore, you can't do that anymore. That would be foolish. At the same time, I don't want to expect that we have to have that kind of miracle in order for him to work. His grace is available to every one of us, and he heals in different ways, and he transforms in different ways. So think about, how has the grace of Jesus Christ transformed your life? And live it out like this man who was lame, and he jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk and leap and praise God. Verse 9, all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. So Peter sees here an opportunity to address the crowd. Their attention is on Peter and John at this point, and this man who was a lame beggar. So Peter then takes that opportunity to explain that this was not part of a power that he, Peter, possessed or that John possessed. They weren't going around zapping people with some healing power that came from them. The power came from, and I think this is really important, it came from the lame man's faith in Jesus. And then Peter makes a call to action. In Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 19, he says to the crowds, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Jacqueline shared this with us a moment ago. If you want to talk about healing, if you want to talk about transformation, if you want to talk about refreshment, it's got to start with repentance. It's got to start with turning away from the rut that you're in, the sinful rut, the path that you have set for your life that is on your terms where you are king, and turn that around and turn to God. It's got to start with repentance. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. When we are walking according to our own appetites, we're walking away from the presence of the Lord. And Peter is saying, walk into the presence of the Lord and you will feel refreshed. And he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. So you're moving into living in the presence of the Lord, and then there's a next thing. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. So in Peter's message, we see this progression. And if you're taking notes on the back of your program, you can fill in some blanks here. First, repentance. Sin being wiped away. First, repentance. Then, refreshment in the presence of the Lord. And finally, restoration. all things being made new. Repentance, refreshment, restoration. When I looked up this the word refreshment and the and looked at what do they use? It was originally written in Greek. What's the Greek word? And it means to essentially to catch your breath. So I think of this as kind of like you're running a race, and God provides times of refreshment where you catch your breath, and then there's still more. There's an end goal, the restoration. So first, repentance, do something different from your normal pattern. Get out of your rut. And then refreshment. What does that look like for you today? I mentioned some of the things that refreshment might look like. Maybe a little time off. Maybe it's if you're a parent, maybe it's relief from the kids. When I was a kid and I'd be home, my mom would be home with me, and she'd often be watching TV, and they had this soap operas thing, and there was this commercial where they would set up this super stressful situation, all the stress on this poor woman, because they knew that their main audience was women. All these stressful things, all these noises, somebody's calling and I'm holding a baby, and finally the woman shouts, and I know that some of you know this, because at one point I was in a meeting with people from church, and I just said, take me away, and somebody, so what's the word, what did they say, what? Calgon, oh my goodness. If you're here and you're like younger than me, you're going, what in the world just happened? These commercials, though, it was Calgon. Well, Calgon was like a bubble bath, right? I mean, I didn't know that. I didn't understand what was happening in that commercial. It might have been some kind of drug. But no, it was like a bubble bath. Calgon, take me away. It was all about, give me a moment of, please, relieve me. Give me some refreshment. Maybe relief looks like a little time off from the kids, or someone else to mow the lawn, or a bubble bath. Our hope during Backyard Missions, which if you've been coming for a while, you're hearing about and you can read about it in your program. Our hope is to find people who are looking for some help with some home repairs, give them a taste of refreshment that comes from the presence of the Lord. So it's not just do a thing, it's help people experience the presence of the Lord as we serve them, as we provide some physical relief, also help them glimpse the presence of the Lord. By the way, I think this is the week Russ and Tammy are at Bethany Church talking to them about Backyard Missions, because we're seeing other churches having an interest in serving alongside. This is becoming a community outreach where churches are cooperating together, and I'm excited about where that could go. But I just wanted to let you know that's happening. There is some crossover that's happening. So when we go and we serve a household, I hear feedback from people that they're amazed to see us working together so joyfully and having fun, just enjoying each other. People working together, not fighting. For some people, they're like, wow, that's really nice. And they may or may not know it at the time, but what they're seeing is the presence of the Lord. They're seeing people work together for God's glory. I've seen people in tears as they thank us for the time that we spend with them. We have people who purposefully, that's their job on the job. Yes, we're mowing lawns, we're painting, we're doing things, but we have people who are specifically there to spend time with the people who we are serving, to listen to them, to pray for them. My own neighbor has looked me in the eye, a neighbor who we have served in Backyard Missions, and she said, you are a godsend. Meaning, she believes that God arranged for our connection. That's more than a coin in a cup. There's hope there. It's belief that God has not abandoned us. It's evidence that there's more to this life than what can be measured with scientific instruments. That's what we're giving people a glimpse of in backyard missions. And our hope and prayer is that they would turn from sin, turn to God, find refreshment today that is just a step in God's bigger plan. So finally, the bigger plan is that refreshment gives us a preview of restoration. What's the greater miracle? That the lame man's foot and ankle were healed until, I mean, eventually, as far as we know, eventually he died. What's the greater miracle? That for a few years, his foot and ankle were healed, or that his relationship with God was healed so that he would live eternally? Eternal life, of course, is the bigger miracle. I remember a woman telling me about her mother who was dying of cancer and just the prayers for healing that went out. And if you've ever been in that situation, you know what it's like to beg God to intercede for that person who you love. And her mom was a disciple of Jesus. She loved the Lord. And this woman prayed and prayed for her mom to be healed of cancer. And eventually her mom died from that cancer. And this woman was angry and at God and thought, where was my miracle? I read about these miracles in the Bible, and I hear other people telling stories of how they prayed and God answered their prayer. Where was my miracle? And then she got this sense from God. Like when she said, where was my miracle? God answered. And this doesn't happen audibly. I want to encourage you, though, have these hard conversations with God. Sometimes we don't because we're afraid maybe he will answer. Have these hard conversations with God. So she didn't say he answered audibly. She said she felt this sense, that this answer kind of just came to her mind, not from herself, but from God. Like he was saying, she is healed of all sickness and death. She is with me forever. What greater gift could you ask for? The promise is that Jesus will return to wipe away every tear, to undo all suffering, and to make all things new. He invites us to have faith in him, like this beggar who didn't see Jesus there, but he heard the name and went, there is my hope. And he stood up, and he walked, and he ran, and he jumped. Jesus invites us to have faith in him, and he will make all things new. Repent of your sins, turn to God for refreshment. It may come in ways that you did not expect. I can almost guarantee that it will, because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His plans are greater than our plans. Trust in Jesus for restoration of your relationship with God and of everything that sin has done to this world. He will make all things new. Let's pray. God, some of us came into this room knowing that we needed refreshment, and I thank you that you have brought refreshment, that you have taken our eyes off of our rut, our regular work, our daily grind. You have taken our eyes off of that and put our eyes on a God who is worthy of praise, a God who isn't far off, a God who's reaching out to us. God, thank you for letting us be in your presence this morning. I pray that we would feel refreshed, and that the refreshment you give as we worship together would be a preview of Jesus making all things new. That gives us hope for today and for tomorrow. That keeps us moving according to your will. And God, if there's anyone in here who isn't moving according to your will, anyone who is has not repented from their sins, anyone who's still carrying that burden, I pray right now that they would hear the promise, that they can repent, that they can turn, that they can say, I no longer want to be the king of my life. I am laying down that burden. You are my king. If they're doing that for the first time today, Lord, help them feel that burden fall off. Help them feel the cleansing from sin in their life. Help them understand that everything changes when you are their Lord. That their sin is dealt with. It is gone. It is obliterated once for all time because of what Jesus did on the cross. Help them experience eternal life. Not a life that just begins once we breathe our last breath on earth, but an eternal life that begins today. God, let us live that life together, leaping and singing and shouting your praises. In Jesus' name, amen.